Against Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Chronicles. And chapter 19, if you will. Tell you what, let me read you a verse in 16, verse 2 and 17, verse 2 and 18. Then we'll read 19, bring us up to snuff here. By the way, if you happen to have some time off Monday or Tuesday night this week, Brother Jason Myers over at Victory Baptist Church is having Dr. Shelton Smith in to preach, and it's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. He's there tonight at 6 p.m., but you don't know that, because you're going to be here. But anyway, it's Monday through Friday. It's Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. all week. And it says nursery and youth services each night. When I say youth, it's talking about the sixth grade and under. And so that's over in Victory Baptist over in Hanover. And they got some special singers from Berean Baptist down south, and so you'll enjoy them. So if you've got some time this week, you'd like to go over and visit with Brother Myers, I know he'd appreciate that. I think I'm going to try to get over there tomorrow night, but we'll see. It's never know what happens when the phone calls. When the phone rings, it's all over. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're talking about a fellow by the name of Jehoshaphat, and we've kind of labeled this series of messages, Jumping Jehoshaphat. And sometimes that's kind of the way we are. We jump in the Lord things, and we jump out of the things of the Lord. We jump into things of the Lord, we jump out of the things of the Lord. We wonder why we've got issues. In fact, we'll talk about there, but he says, Lord's forgiven you, but he says there's still going to be some wrath. I talked about last week, some splinters. That word literally means splinters. There's going to be some snags in your life. You jump in, you jump out. Jump in, jump. Now listen, God's going to bless you, and he may save your soul. He may save your neck. He saved your soul, but he may save your neck. He may get you out of some hot places, but why get into hot places in the first place if we don't have to? And so he tells us about some things. And here's the principle. In chapter 16, verse number 9, the prophet is talking to Jehoshaphat's father, who had run well for a while and kind of got his nose out of joint and started doing what he wanted. He got himself into some trouble and actually decided not to turn back to the Lord and ended up having some rough times. He got sick. He had wars coming at him all the time. Just was a mess. In fact, the wars with Syria ran on into the next generation there. But it says in chapter 9, as the prophet is talking to Asa, Jehoshaphat's father, he gives a principle. And he says in verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore thou henceforth shalt have war." He says, I want to give you blessings. God is watching. He's got his eyes open. By the way, God doesn't miss anything. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He sees everything. He's eternal. He knows what you're going to do. He knows everything that has happened. When he makes a promise, you can say, "Oh, well, he promised me, but he didn't know how bad I was going to get." Yes, he did. He knew how bad you were going to mess up. He knew what you were going to do. And when he makes a promise, he keeps a promise. He says, "Listen, my promise is I'm trying, I'm watching, because I want to show myself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." It didn't say your heart was perfect in everything. It says your heart is, in other words, your heart is focused. It's headed. It's got its mind. Now, I'm going to mess up. I may step in some mud puddles. I may get into some briars from time to time. The fact is, though, my heart wants to know God. Was a seeker with all my heart. The Bible says, if we seek with our whole heart, we shall find him. He says, God is looking to bless somebody. Now, he's not saying you're going to be perfect. He's not saying you're not going to fall in the mud from time to time. When you fall in the mud, you say, "Oh, my soul, if we get out of the mud and get back on track, I'm seeking the Lord." That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So that's the principle. Now, Asa dies, Jehoshaphat becomes the king. King Jehoshaphat says, "I'm going to start this thing and do this thing right." So look at chapter 17, verse number 3. It says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat." Why? because he walked in the first ways of his father David. Well, his father wasn't David, his father was Asa. I know, but you know the ancestor. His father, King David, whose heart was after God. He was a man after God's own heart. He walked in the ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Now you could say, well, I want God in my life. I want God in my life. Okay, if you do, well, you're going to do what he says. No, I want him to show himself strong toward me. Well, good. Do what he says. We're not seeking the gifts, we're seeking him. You seek him, the good he's come along with the deal. Okay? So Jehoshaphat did very well. And we went through all that. God blessed him. We went through, he provided, he protected, he promoted Jehoshaphat. God took care of that. Listen, the other nations around him were scared of Jehoshaphat. Why? Because God put a fear in their heart. Why? Because Jehoshaphat sought after God. Well, so that doesn't make him so scary. It wasn't about Jehoshaphat being scary. It was about the fact that God's hand was on his heart, on his life. That was the difference. Well, it doesn't make sense. If it made sense, you wouldn't take faith. That's just it. We want to see God do something which is abnormal. How do you know it's God? Because otherwise it wouldn't have happened. Now, there's a lot of good things. We can save ourselves from a lot of the problems just by simply obeying his word and save a lot of snares and toils and trials and so forth. I understand that, and that's good. But the fact is, we want God's hand on us because sometimes there are going to be things going to happen. We're going to get ourselves in trouble. Now, Jehoshaphat, in chapter 18, chapter 17, things had gone wonderful. He was really doing well. And then we come to chapter 18, says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. I mean, this guy was doing well. Years have gone by, and he had done what God had told him to do, to seek God with all his heart. His heart was perfect toward him. And God blessed just like he promised to bless. Now, you know the principle here. You get your heart headed toward him. Well, you say, well, all of a sudden, get your heart headed toward him. If your heart's toward him, then you're going to obey what he tells you to do. You're going to want to know this word. His word. You're going to want to know what he wants you to do. Now, Jehoshaphat kind of got fat and happy. He got satisfied. And there was warnings about that. When everything goes fine, don't forget God. Well, you know what? We worked so hard and we struggled. And remember the years when you're trying to bring up the kids and you're trying to make the bills. You got this many bills and this many checks coming in. You know, there's a whole lot more month than there is money. And you prayed and God blessed and all those kind of things. That's a wonderful thing. And now you're sitting pretty. So now you buy a boat and you go out to the lake on Sunday. Now we can do this and now we can do that. Now we can do this and now we can do that. Look out. Well, I'm heaven. I'm going to heaven. I know. But the fact is, we're headed for some splinters. We're asking for snags. Because God is looking to and fro to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Well, what happens when my heart is just kind of so-so toward him? Now, he's not going to beat you up. He's not going to throw you to the dogs. But don't expect him to show himself as strong. Don't expect him to show himself as strong. And so Jehoshaphat, it says in chapter 18, verse 1, he says, and he had great riches and honor, and he joined affinity with Ahab, which is also the husband of Jezebel, you know all that. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab. Now this was the king of Israel. He wanted to have nothing to do with that, but he did it anyway. And he got himself into a fix with him, and they're sitting there having a party, and finally he's sitting at the party with his feet kicked back and said, hey, you know, Jehoshaphat, why don't you go down to war with me? I think I can take that Syrian guy. I think I can. You go with me, we'll do it. And he said, well, my people are your people, I'm as you, let's just do it. We're brothers, let's go do it. He was running with the wrong crowd. You see, if I'm going after him, I'm going to go away from the world. When I start playing with the world, I know nobody's perfect. I understand that. But we've got to run with people who are trying to run toward God. Not run with people who are running away from God. That's the basically. Well, this person here, he's really a mess. Boy, his life's a mess, but his heart's toward God. Well, you know what? I can run with that guy. As long as he's running toward God. If he's running toward God, I can run toward God. Are you following me? Now, they sit over there and say, you know what, I'm saved, but I just want to do as I want, then I'm not looking to be around with that guy. Now, I can be friendly to them. I don't have to, you know, I'm not talking about that. But we got to watch who we're running around with. And so he gets all there and he says, well, let's go ahead and do it. And so they call for a prophet. And of course, old Ahab brings the prophets of Baal in. And Jehoshaphat said, well, don't you have anybody from God? And so they bring, so I don't like that guy. He always says bad things. Maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe your heart's not perfect toward God. He's not going to show himself strong toward you. That flag should have gone up. The flag should have gone up when Ahab told Jehoshaphat, you get all dressed up in your king's robes when we go out to battle, and I'm just going to go incognito. Yeah, I mean, come on. So anyway, you know, the battle came around. It was hot, got really bad. And there's Jehoshaphat. And all these people said, oh, that must be the king. And so they surrounded him. And when they got surrounded, Jehoshaphat, who was a believer, if you want to say it that way, said, Lord, save me. And God, in his mercy, saved that old boy's neck. And they realized, wait a minute, this isn't Ahab. We saw Ahab's picture on the post office wall. This isn't him. This is just some other guy. And so then he went out looking for Ahab. And the fact is, by happenstance, some guy happened to shoot an arrow. One slid in the wrong place there in Ahab and killed him. And Jehoshaphat came out by the skin of his teeth. By the way, that's a saying out of Job. But anyway, out of the skin of your teeth. So that brings us to chapter 19. And Jehoshaphat, verse 1, king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. He shouldn't have, but God in his mercy cut him some slack. He should have never been there. You know what? If he had listened to the Lord and been watching the Lord, he wouldn't have gotten all those splinters, if you will. That was a rough day. Now, wait a minute. You know what? I don't want to just live with my head above water. If I don't have to just live with my head above water, I'd like to live and see God's blessing. There's nothing wrong with that. If you can handle it. What do you mean if you can handle it? If you can still keep your eyes on him when he blesses you. If you can't keep your eyes on him after he's blessed you, then he's probably not going to bless you, because the Bible says the prosperity of a fool shall destroy him. And since God loves you, he doesn't want to destroy you. And so if he prospers you and he knows he's going to destroy you, good chance he's not going to give you that stuff to destroy yourself with. You know the old saying, don't give him enough rope to hang himself. You don't give the car keys to a 5-year-old. And so, though Satan may dump us in the midst of a mess, God doesn't usually do that. And we get mad at God because we don't have all the toys we want. Maybe because he knows we can't handle all the toys. But Jehoshaphat, the king, returned to Jerusalem. Verse 2, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. Jehu was actually the son of the prophet that had talked to Jehoshaphat's father. So this is the next generation going on here. And this, look what he said. And he said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath splinters, difficult time upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. You got rid of some things, and you're looking for God. We talked about that last week. Verse 4. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. And he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do. He said, you better watch what you do here. Now, don't just go out haphazardly. He says, make sure we do this right. By the way, sometimes God has to slap us on our back to make sure we get the idea we need to do things right. I think that's what Jehoshaphat got Jehoshaphat's attention in the middle of that battle. And I think about that time Jehoshaphat said, what in the world am I doing here? I should have never been here. I should have gone. Listen, I remember what it was like when God provided and protected and promoted. And here I am sitting in the battle and I'm about this close to being dead. It got his attention. So he's going to go back to do the first thing, verse 6. And said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of our brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgment, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. And behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebadiah, the son of Ishmael, and the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites shall be officers before you. Watch. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. I want Lord on me. No, God's with the good. You want to be able to, you want God with you? Then we need to be dealing in the good. We got to seek Him with our heart. Let's pray. And we're going to do a second part here on Jehoshaphat returns. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Lord, I want to be a blessing. Lord, help us to see ourselves in your word. We need your Holy Spirit to move. And there's little innuendos, there's little subtle things, that there's little rabbit trails where we live. I pray, Lord, that you'll do that work, and then Holy Spirit will teach each of us exactly what each of us need. And we'll give the praise for it all in Christ's name. Amen. Paul has a verse that says, thou hast run well, who hath hindered thee? I think there's a lot of Christians who get saved, and they get on fire, and they're moving, and the Lord's blessing. And watch this. There's a lot of things in their lives that still are a mess, but their heart is seeking God. And God blesses. And they move along, and they're really doing well. And if after a while they start saying, I'm doing pretty good. Look at me, I'm not this anymore, I'm not that anymore, I'm not this anymore. You know, as you know, I think I deserve a vacation. We have our Reformers Anonymous program, addiction program. There is probably multitude, hundreds of people who have gone through that program, whether here or other places. There's over 1,000 of those chapters across the world here, but who have gone. And they've run well. The Lord has done some things. And they said, you know what? I'm going to take this week off. I'm going to let this go. I can handle this. You know what? I've been sober for 3 years. Let's go out and celebrate and have a beer. That's not as far-fetched as you might think. Because now they think I can handle it. Now, you know why you were handling it? Because your heart was after God, and God was showing himself strong toward you. But once your heart's no longer after God, we cannot claim the promise that God's strong on our behalf. Fact is, all of us have probably slacked off somewhere in our lives, and we've messed up. There may be some people in here that did run well for a while. Maybe right now you're in the midst of some things, and you say, I just feel like I'm living in a life full of splinters. Every place I go, I'm getting snagged by something else. Getting snagged by something else. There's constant resistance. And you might not believe this. You might not think this applies to you. But the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. You know what proud is? If somebody says, I can do it by myself. That's all proud is. It doesn't have to be somebody who's arrogant. Doesn't have to be somebody who's just flaunting themselves. Just simply, I can do it by myself. And what happens is all of a sudden God starts resisting. You start rubbing against the splinters. Now, if you're there, or you have been there, or maybe you kind of stepped out and you've been living there for a while, let me say something. God's a God of second chances, and third chances, and fourth chances. He says, let's try this again. Now, I'm not going to say there won't be some splinters. In fact, sometimes they get caught, it may take a while for them to come out. Now, I'm not saying Paul got himself in trouble, but you know, he had a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed to get rid of it, and God said, no, I think you better just keep that because it keeps you humble. If it keeps you humble, then it keeps you trusting me. When you keep your eyes on me, then I can show myself strong before you, toward you. So last week we found out that Jehoshaphat was rebuked by the preacher. And he says, you know, something's not right here. But the fact is, there's some good in you. God's wrath is on you. There's going to be some splinters. And we found out about that a little later. His sons were a mess. God may not cure all the diseases that you got into when you were out on your own. He may not fix all the issues. There may be some things that may walk with you the rest of your life. But the fact is, you don't want any more. And you never know. You get right, you might let some of that thing subside. Have you ever been to a place where you dig a splinter and you dig and you dig and you dig and you dig, you can't get that thing out? And another day or so, you know, it kind of all of a sudden pops out. You might be able to get past some of these splinters. Let's see what Jehoshaphat did. He was rebuked in verse 3, then Jehoshaphat was remembered for his heart. Let me give you one tonight, number one for this morning. What happened? Jehoshaphat repents. Jehoshaphat repent. Jehoshaphat knew he had a very close call. He should have been a dead man out there in the middle of that battle. But he's alive. I tell you what. Men and women come home from battle. Sometimes they have a totally different view of life. The sun came up this morning and I'm still breathing. Sometimes, listen, the sun came up this morning and I'm still going to heaven. If the sun hadn't come up, I was still going to heaven. We forget those things. We stop living with that mentality. Jehoshaphat saw, and it says in verse 4, Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. I mean, he stayed where he was supposed to be all the time. He wasn't supposed to be up at Ahab's place. He was supposed to be down at Jerusalem. What's in Jerusalem? That's where the temple is. What's at the temple? That's where the presence of God is. Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, verse 4, and he went out again. What do you mean went out again? He went out the first time. Remember when he went out the first time? Back in 17:7 says this. Chapter 17, verse 7, it says, also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to and it talks about those guys, to teach the cities of Judah. With them he sent the Levites, verse 8. Down in bottom of verse 8 it says he sent the priests. In verse 9 it says, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went out throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Asa, his father, didn't end up well. Jehoshaphat said, I'm going to do this right. And so he actually sent all these guys out to teach the word of God to the people. He says, we're going to have a godly nation. He says, we're going to do it. He put forth some work. By the way, learn the things of God takes some work. It puts you out a little bit. Sometimes you can't do. So. Listen, there's a lot of things I'd like to do. There's a lot of things I think I'd be really cool doing. Then I'll say, what's on Sunday afternoon? Why can't you go Sunday afternoon? Because if I go Sunday afternoon, I'll be dead in the pulpit tonight when I'm ready to preach. You preach in the morning, come back in, do choir practice, and then have church and preach and so forth. You know, maybe it's because I carry around more than I'm supposed to carry around. But all I know is that if I go out and spend all afternoon doing something, I'm going to be a dead man in the pulpit tonight. Well, then... Because it's not worth it. It's more important for me to be what I need to be for you than to go out there and enjoy that thing. No big deal. I'll survive. He did the first things again. He goes back to the first things. That's what he did in chapter 17, verse 3. He said he walked in the first ways of his father David. And that word, when he said he went out again, that word again means to return, to repent. He went out through the people. He was meeting with the people. He was associating with. He was huddling with. They had church. And they had Sunday school, so to speak, from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back. He led the people to repent unto the Lord God of their fathers. He says, I've been slacking off. I've been easing up. And I'm not seeing the blessings that God wants me to have. I'm seeing splinters. And Jehoshaphat says, I need to go back and do the first thing. I have to go back and do the first things. Number two, Jehoshaphat repents. Number two, Jehoshaphat recalls. Recalls. He recalls how it used to be. Recalls the lesson he has learned. Sometimes we need to go back and think these things through again. What did he recall? Well, he remembered who we are living and working for. Look at verse 5. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in judgment. Who are we working for? What would God want to be done? That's what we need to be doing. That is what we will do if our heart is after God. What do we spend our time and our energy and our efforts and our finances on? Yes, we're working for God, but wait a minute. Look what he says at the end of that verse. But for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. We're working for him, but we're not working alone. He says, I'm going to go with you. See, all of a sudden, Jehoshaphat is saying, listen, I messed up. I was going. I got where I got where I am because of the Lord's blessing. And I forgot it. And I just kind of coasted. He didn't go into deep sin. He just started to coast. And he let up. He allowed his son to marry Ahab's daughter. Well, we don't want to be, inhospitable neighbors. We want to be good neighbors. So, all right, that's just, we'll just. It's almost as if, okay, I'm a big enough boy now, I can handle sin when I get close to it. No, you can't. First of all, we need to remember who we're living and working for. We also need to remember what we are to be doing. Look at verse 7. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. I like that. Just do it. You know what? There's a lot of Christians who know what they're supposed to do. Now they just need to do it. Well, I'll do it next week. Do it. Listen, we can't say that our heart is perfect toward him when we just didn't want to bother. I was thinking about this week. Let's say you had a rich grandfather. He passed away, but he made his will on video. And on the video, all we know is he's going to give us his words of wisdom and tell us what our inheritance is. And so we're supposed to show up 9:30 on Monday morning. Well, let's back up. Let's say 9:30 Saturday morning. 9:30 Saturday morning, and we're going to see what our inheritance is and get some words of wisdom from our grandfather who passed away. But the fact is, 9:30 comes around.
I worked hard this week.
I know that Grandpa was a multi-millionaire. But
I think I'm too tired. I've worked hard this week.
I think I'll just sleep in. I don't need to know what my inheritance is. I don't need to know Grandpa's years of wisdom. Wait a minute, what if you were Grandpa and you offered that to your family, and they didn't care enough to go hear what you had for them, you would say, they're idiots. Everybody who showed up gets $1 million, but if they don't show up, they don't get it. But we decided to sleep in, and we missed what Grandpa had for us. We do that with the things of God. I'm just too busy. I'll get it some other time. But God was going to show up. And he was going to tell us about some of the inheritance that we have. But we weren't there to hear it. Because we were too tired, too busy, other things to do. We're not seeking him with our heart. Our heart's not perfect toward him. We're missing out on what we need to do. He says, listen, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Feel the gravity of this. This is God. You're God's child. You're God's child. And with you, you are joint heirs with Christ. He's got some words of wisdom for you. But we just kind of walk past it. Listen, he says, take heed and do it. He says, for there's no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. He says, okay, I want you to go out here and do the job that God's called you to do. But by the way, you're going to want you to do it the way God said to do it. God's not impressed with people. God doesn't take bribes. The truth is the truth is the truth. Do right. Do it the way God wants us to do. Don't ease up on truth. Don't ease up on integrity. Do not compromise on the principles of God. Don't allow anyone or anything to coax you off the track. Because if our heart's perfect toward him, they can't get me off track. But we get enamored with something out here. We just ease up. We just kind of relax. And all of a sudden our heart's not perfect. And we wonder where the blessings have gone. Remember how we are to live. Remember who we're living for. Remember what we're supposed to be doing. Remember how we are to live. He says, in the fear of God. Now that doesn't mean you go sit here. No, you don't need to do that unless you don't live in the fear of God down here. Because you're going to do that up there. You know how it is when you were a kid? Mom said, I'll be back in 2 hours, and you do what you want to do, and everything was fine and dandy. And then you realize, oh, my soul, you could be home in 2 minutes, and you had a list of things you were supposed to do, and now you're scared. You say, well, I fear Mom. Yeah, but you should have feared her earlier. So now you want to fear her now. Look at verse 8. Moreover, in Jerusalem, to Jehoshaphat, said of the Levites and for the priests and the chief of the fathers, Israel, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they return to Jerusalem. And he charged them. He said, now listen, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord. He says, I want you to do this knowing that God knows what you're doing. You're going to do this with full intellectual cognitive ability, knowing that God knows. God knows exactly what you're doing. In fact, he knows what you were thinking in your heart when you did it. God knows. By the way, God knows. God knows. You're sitting right here this morning. God knows what's in your heart. God knows if we're doing it. God knows what's going on in our lives. God knows if our heart is after him or if our heart is eased off. He says, do in the fear of the Lord, watch, faithfully, firmly, trustworthily, if that's a word, and with a, look at it, perfect heart. Do it with your heart. God's not looking for part-time Christians. He wants somebody who's really in the business. See, we want to do as we please and just kind of add God on to the end of our life. Just kind of tack that in there. God says, he says, no, I want you to want me. Listen, ladies, do you want a part-time husband? Guys, you want a part-time wife? You want somebody who's right there with you all the time, through the thick and through the thin. When they look for it, when you do something stupid, she's still there saying, that's my husband. When God puts us in a spot where we look a little silly because we still believe God, do you still stick around him? Do you still say, that's my God? Do we take him only when it's convenient? Do we do right when it's easy? Listen, allow the fear of God, watch this statement, to run your life. Allow your fear of God to run your life. And if you allow the fear of God to run your life, then you don't have anything else to fear. You understand? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Psalm 118:6. Mark that one down. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, says it again in the New Testament, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Listen, I know God is showing him strong. He's looking around trying to figure out when he can show himself strong on my behalf. Why? Because I have nothing but him. I'm seeking him. With all my heart, I'm seeking him. I'm seeking him. Having more friends is not better than having the truth of God lead your life. Having more money is not better than having the truth of God run your life. We should fear God consistently. We should fear him wholly with our whole being. When we fear God consistently, we don't have to fear anything else because it's all in his will. Remember who you're living for. Remember what you're trying to do. Remember how you are to live. And here's another remember who, but remember who makes the best decisions. Remember who makes the best decisions. Let God be your decision maker. Let God be your decision maker. Look at verse 10. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. And so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. He says, this is what I want you to do. See, you're trying to make a decision. Here's how you make the decision that you don't trespass against God. In other words, all we know is don't go against God in your decision. In other words, don't be so foolish as I have been, Jehoshaphat said. I made some decisions. I let my son marry Ahab's daughter. Now, he's in cahoots with them. In fact, he spends more time up there in those crazy parties they have than he does back home here where he's supposed to be. Almost got killed out there in the battle, all because of some stupid decisions. You realize Jehoshaphat would not have been in battle with Ahab if he had simply let God make his decision? God says, don't run around with people who don't love me. Don't make them your best friends. Don't be mean, but just don't run around with that mess. Now, if that was the case, he wouldn't have been in Ahab's living room. Ahab would have never said, hey, Jehoshaphat, let's go get the king of Syria. We can take him. He would have never had to have been put in that position where he would have said, I'm not going to war with you. And no matter how nice you would have said it, that's what house would have come out. Well, I didn't want to say wrong. I didn't want to be mean, so I went ahead and went with it. Why were you there in the first place? If you had let God make your decision for you, you wouldn't have been stuck in that position. Listen, The main criteria when you're making a decision. Why? Listen, we're trying to keep away the splinters. But see, I don't have to worry about keeping away the splinters. What I'm trying to do is keep my heart on Him. And keep my heart on Him takes care of the splinters. Don't focus on the splinters. Don't focus on, well, I can't do this, can't do that, can't do this. No, you got Christ. You got God. You're an heir of the kingdom. Keep my eye on Him. When you get ready to make a decision, your main criteria is God in it or is He not? In other words, does it trespass against God's law? Does it go against a principle in the Word of God? We don't want the wrath, the splinters of God on us. Listen, the vast majority of the decisions that we have to make in life are already made for us, and there's no reason to fret and worry over them. Here it is. If it goes against God's Word and His principles, then it's a no. Yeah, but I could make a little bit more money. Now, wait a minute. Is more money worth more than knowing God? Well, I could do this, but it causes me to have this. Does it go against your walk with God? He says you're going to make some decisions. Make sure that the decisions do not trespass against God. Hang on. I love this person, but I'm not sure, so we're going to move in together. And a lot of wonderful, nice people who've gone that track. I'm not saying they're bad people, but it's not wise. You're going to see splinters. There's going to be snags that you didn't see coming. Now, folks, there may be folks in that position. Let's get our eyes on Him and work our way out of that position. Let's get out of that. Not trying to be mean. I'm saying listen, they're saying, why don't we see God work like we used to see Him work? Because our heart is not perfect toward Him. And he looks to and fro, looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is looking for Him. That's their goal in life. If you have no other alternatives that do not go against God's principles, that means you stay where you are. No matter what I do that goes against God's principle, then stay where you are. This does not require you to... This does require you to know God's principles. So you had better get busy learning them so you are prepared to make the decisions as they come. That's why Jehoshaphat said, take the law, take the book with you, and go out into all the cities of Judah and teach them the Word of God. That's why we're here this morning. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, getting saved. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Get them to take a stand for Christ. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Nothing's new. That's New Testament I just quoted. This is Old Testament. Teach them to observe what I want them to do, and I'll be with them. See, we want to connect our goodness, so to speak, and think, well, I'm not doing so bad. I'm not doing this and this and this and this and this, so I'm good. So God, what's God's problem? That's the way he said, are you seeking Him with your heart? The return of Jehoshaphat really wasn't the return from the battle. It was return from easing up on his life of following God. Remember, this always works. I'm all done. Look at verse 11. And behold, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord. And Zebediah the son of Ishmael and the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters, also the Levites shall be officers before you. Watch this. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. Deal courageously. That word deal means to do. Advance yourself in this way. Move forward. Accomplish this task. Deal with this. How? Courageously. That means to fasten upon it without allowing yourself to let up at all or ever. Bind yourself to the task. Restrain yourself from stopping. A fight to the death attitude. Don't get scared and start fearing man and your circumstances more than you fear God. Hang on to Him. Listen, everything in the world may be falling apart, but my eyes are on Him. Because you see, if my heart is perfect, moving toward Him, then He's out here showing Himself strong, and He won't miss Him because His eyes are open, He's looking to and fro. And He's showing Himself strong on my behalf. My job is not to show myself strong on my behalf. My job is not to go out and make all this stuff work. It's my job to keep my eyes on Him, and He does the work. He says, deal courageously. Listen, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1:8 is what I just quoted, but listen to the verse that comes up to it. Verse 6 and 7. He says to Joshua, Joshua says to those people, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosper, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's looking, He's watching to and fro, seeing whose heart is perfect toward Him to show so He can show Himself mighty on their behalf. So you're looking, you're trying to do that. Well, this seems stupid because I got this battle and this battle and this battle and this battle. Nope. But I'm scared. Don't you think I need to be fighting? You're fighting. Let the Lord fight your battles. Listen, you know what we do? We go out and make as much of a mess as we can, and then we say, Lord, would you fight my battle? That's what Jehoshaphat did. Oh, my Lord! Well, listen, God may in His mercy spare your dumb heart, my dumb heart. But you know what? We could avoid the whole thing. If we had just simply did what He told us to do in the first place. And meantime, He's knocking off the opponents right and left. Go back to chapter 17. He's got your opponents paying you. He's taking care of you. Showing Himself strong on your behalf. And you say, you know what? Life, listen, preacher, and I've had this. You can trust God because your life has always been easy. You just got lucky and had some good kids.
I got headstrong kids.
But headstrongness is not a bad thing once you get it pointed in the right direction. And they're not perfect. They'll probably mess up again before they're dead. I'll mess up again before I'm dead. But I can do this. I can keep my heart on Him. And I said, bless his little dumb soul. There he goes again. All right. Well, he'll be back because I know. He'll be back. We're messing life up. We could have spared ourselves. Why? Look. We do what Jehoshaphat did. We realized we needed him. And God blessed. And we eased off. And then we get ourselves in trouble. And we come back to him. And God blesses. And then we ease off. Then we get ourselves in trouble. And we turn back to him. God blesses. Man, wouldn't it be nicer just to take a smooth road? I'm not saying you're not going to have problems. In fact, next week, come back next week. Good old Jehoshaphat is doing right. And his world is going to fall apart. But we're going to see how he handles it. Wasn't even his fault this time. Had nothing to do with him. Well, I shouldn't have a problem. I was following God. Do you live in this world or not? What planet do you live on? I live on Earth. And when there's Earth, there's problems. And he's going to find that. But wait a minute. When my heart is right with him, why should I fear what man can do unto me? Next week, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, I pray that you'll show yourself to these dear folks. Lord, I want them to rise up in the arms of faith. I want them to see what you can do. But we have to come to you expecting and faithfully and diligently. Just keep our eyes on you. And though we may slip up, we know that. We confess and we forsake and we come back to you again. Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I